Kia ora. This program is brought to you by Wellington Access Radio. Get your voice heard.
Kia ora koutou.
Malo lele.
Dada hao.
What's up?
You were listening to Quilted Bananas on Wellington Access Radio 106.1 FM, and we are sponsored by the Rural Foundation. Folks of the day, we have
Shem,
Shuti, and our special guest,
James.
Yay, welcome everyone. So we'll start with a song, I guess. Enjoy the song, Manta by Lexi Liu Liu Boxi.
Diving that cash like I'm chosen. Then my 24 karat got you frozen, yeah. Put the boy on a shoe, yeah. Hit me on the surface, that lurking. Overhit it up, that gon' make me nervous. Really, who she just? Shandong, but you water, chip on Lucifer. Fail, quandra, but you water means a no. We can start the fish and bite me another round. Diamonds on me like I'm fresh out of water. I'm a arena, really, really me in with a thin line.
I've been riding on a wave, tripping water tonight.
Man, I fly and walk to low man, drop the whole fish. Man, come on me, I don't need no romance. I fly and lie like a manta. I fly and walk to low man, drop the whole fish. Man,
come on me. Manta by Lexi Liu, who is famous for her translanguaging, in other words, switching effortlessly between English and Mandarin Chinese in this coherent, swaggy manner. And I have chosen this song especially because it fits our special show very well. Because maybe you picked it up, there was a line that goes, I don't need no romancer. And our show today, hosted by Shem and I, we have a very special name itself. We're called
Friends with Benefits. And Shuti came up with the name, so I'll let her explain that.
Well, what do we mean by Friends with Benefits?
The friendship has benefits, it's just not the benefits that are usually prescribed to the terms Friends with Benefits.
Yeah, I agree. We are, with our show, reclaiming the language Friends with Benefits. Friends with Benefits! And our special friend today is James, someone we both love and adore. Yes.
Thank you, and congratulations on your debut as hosts. It's very, very exciting.
Thank you, James. Awesome. We will kick right into our questions for you, shall we?
Thank you.
Yeah.
So, can you please introduce yourself?
I sure can. So, my name is James Winley. And I know that you wanted me to kind of think about what labels do I identify with. Mm. And actually, the number one is theatre maker. That is kind of the most primary for me, that theatre is the art form and practice that I've dedicated my life to. Mm. And I don't see that changing.
Mm.
So that's really important to me. I'd next go Pākehā. Because that cultural identity is really important, and I often think it's vital for Pākehā to identify themselves as such, so it doesn't just become this kind of unspoken, invisible thing and kind of just seeing ourselves as the norm, that people with other non-Pākehā cultural identities are often asked to identify as such, so I should be doing the same.
Appreciate that.
I'm a man. That's also important to me because I guess I'm not like a traditional conforming sort of man, but I want to kind of promote expanded spectrums of what masculinity can be. So that's also really important for me to role model. And then pertinent to this particular program would be Arrow Ace, aromantic, asexual, part of that umbrella and community. And that's not something that necessarily comes up every day, but very much kind of frames the way that I think about society and the benefits of friendship.
Yeah, how lovely.
And how does that... And how does your aspecness intersect with, say, your theatre journey and your other labels?
I think when you sort of look back on it, that because it influences so much about how I operate in the world, that it kind of has been alongside my journey in theatre, but not necessarily with me kind of knowing the whole time. So I started really early, maybe 5 years old, getting enrolled in drama classes as a way to help my confidence, and I really kind of embraced that. And then as you're kind of going through like your teenage years, like I'd be going to be doing all of the musicals, and that was like my happy place, that was the place that I loved. But the kind of like seeing your peers go off and get into romantic, sexual relationships was always kind of quite baffling for me. And it probably took quite a long time for me to realise, there's some explanations for this, of why I'm not out there kind of like experimenting or trying to pursue that necessarily. And I'd always like look to the big like romances and musical theatre to try to like understand, like, oh, is this what it's like meant to be like, and is this what it's meant to feel like? And I like doing that as an actor, to explore different identities and ways of kind of being in the world. So performing was always kind of really appealing, not something that I wanted to do in my own life. And it really was actually a theatre show that helped me, I guess, claim my aspec identity, which was a show that I made called Dr. Drama Makes a Show, which was about my... I should also say I'm an academic. That's probably another important label. that I work at university. And so I had a theatre show that was trying to combine my university like teaching practice with making theatre. And I'd list off all the kind of identifications that I had, Pākehā man, etc. But the sexual identity was like, I was so kind of nervous about that because I'd just sort of been unidentified for so long. And so that then brought the journey of, okay, I'm going to actually like figure this out and delve really deep into the kind of discourse around asexuality and all of that.
That's actually really interesting because James taught me at uni, and I remember you making the show. And so that's very interesting to get that behind the scenes information years later.
Yeah, I wish I were there to see that show. But it just feels so wonderful that through theatre practice you've found new clarity about yourself and your own voice. And I'm particularly interested in your languages, I guess, in the broad sense. In addition to theatre practice, which is your creative language outlet, are there any languages that you use to express yourself?
Yeah, so I'm monolingual in that English is the one that I've got.
Yep.
I love to engage with Te Reo Māori as and when I can. And a few years ago, I was able to be part of a project kind of putting together a resource for my students with Kupu Whakaari for language of the theatre that has been offered by Te Reo Māori. So that's kind of really meaningful, and there's lots of really beautiful kupu that we can use in theatre practice. But I guess that kind of expanded idea of what, like, languages, the language of theatre, the language of like creative expression is so core and important for me to, as you kind of say, like I use theatre to understand myself and to try to connect with a wider community. So there's something really kind of like primal about that, of where we as humans kind of evolved, and that kind of need for storytelling round the fire, like that's just so kind of potent for me that I feel like we are sort of channeling like long histories of humanity whenever we come together to share a story in community.
Wonderful. I think both Shem and I can say that as co-creators of yours, we admire how you've used and combined your languages in broad sense to create beautiful things for us together.
Inspiration.
Yeah.
Okay, so my question is, what creators or works have most significantly shaped your journey as a practitioner and a researcher? And a practice researcher?
Well, this is where I sort of have the tension between being like the serious, like academic with lots of like theory and my first love, which was musical theatre and musicals.
I can tell.
So I'm actually very proud of that. So that was hugely influential for me as a young person, entering the world of art and theatre with these musicals that had big emotion, big spectacle, really kind of compelling characters. And so I'd probably credit like the works of Stephen Sondheim. Amazing composer. Works like Into the Woods and Company. But that was really kind of influential for me in terms of thinking about how you can use musical theatre as a platform to explore really kind of deep ideas about who we are as people. And then I also kind of just reflect on contemporary peers who really inspire me, people like Julia Croft, Nisha Madden, Nathan Joe, who are just really great theatre makers and make me want to do even better in my own work too.
That's so wonderful. And I want to say, because you are working in this spirit, in this being, I feel for us, you are one of those people to us too.
Thank you.
I think, yeah, defo, agree.
Yeah. Wonderful. Shall we get some music again?
Okay. Well, yes. Do I say that first part first?
Sure.
Okay. You're listening to Friends with Benefits by Quilted Bananas on Wellington Access Radio 106.1 FM, sponsored by the Rule Foundation. Now, this song coming up is by one of my favourites. It's Bones by Sasha Allen. Let's go into it.
One day when they find the bones in the ground, whoever they are will say, look what we found, a historical find, it's a relic of time, and they'll never attest that I don't know my mind. And one day when they find my bones in the earth, they will not equate who I was to what I'm worth. And they'll find your bones from the same frame of time, and they'll treat your bones just as they've treated mine. We're the same. My remains, they won't consider assumptions you've made. They will see me, not the things that you say. They will put up my bones in historic displays, and I'll be a symbol of what it all means to be human, to know the earth infinitely. And your bones are there too, we're both works of art. It's ironic, the people can't tell us apart. We're the same. Like the ones in me, been here for centuries, waiting on you to uncover your empathy. And when you complain about my puzzling ways, there's a million me's rolling around in our graves. We're the same. We're the same. Find my bones, it'll be far in the future,
40, 23 or so, worried about me. I don't think that you noticed it. By then the archaeologists are all transgender socialists. And it'll be determined on the hill where you died that in terms of history we're way off on the wrong side. But I will forgive you with kindness, grace, and elegance. Dance for eternity with your stupid right-wing skeleton.
Welcome back to Friends with Benefits with Sherman Shuti, and we have Splendid Sue on the tech today and our special guest, James Wenley. Now, Shem, you picked that song we heard just now. Would you like to say a bit more about it?
Yeah, Sasha Ellen, he's one of my favourite artists. He's a proud Christian trans man. Mm. And his songs talk about him and his sometimes his partner, Adore, who is also trans. And I think it's really important for me to broadcast the trans artists that I love right now, because I'll show my support for the trans community in every way I can.
Absolutely. And talking about that, we are going to look at some current events, actually. So let's start with the smaller, I guess, more niche news among the ACE community. We've heard that there is some kind of new official ACE flag. James, tell us about your response to that.
Well, I guess whether it's official or not is just going to be based on the pickup from the wider community. Mm. So flags and symbols are so important to kind of representing our diverse sexual romantic identities. And so we've had a really long-standing existing ACE flag, which you might know of. It's the colours. It's black, grey, white and purple. Mm. And I actually really like that because that's how I've been dressing for many, many years, subconsciously or otherwise. And there is a creator via Instagram who has proposed a new flag, and it's with an idea to kind of be more inclusive. But also the existing flag is also inclusive. So I'm not sure that the case has necessarily been made for it to replace. Yeah. I don't think it should be replacing.
And
but
to be fair, that creator did say it's not intended to replace.
Yeah.
Mm. So I'll give it that.
Yeah. And so I think of all things, if you like it, use it. If it's not for you, that's okay too. Mm. But
I will say what I did like about the new flag is that there's one of the new, I think yellow. Is dedicated to cultural diversity, which I think is a nice, is always nice to have in there. But I think I do agree that it depends on the person, and I don't think the creator of this new flag really cares what people do. They did do 3 years of research into this flag, and mm-hmm. I do know for a fact, because I looked into this, they did reach out to certain associations and people and ask for their opinions, and those people said no. Mm. So they did reach out further to official ACE organisations. So, yeah, I think float your boat. That's not how that saying goes, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, it's well intended. Yeah. But it would be nice for individuals in the community to have a say and choose whichever they think represents them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I think gatekeeping isn't helpful.
No.
Yeah, for sure.
I'm talking about gatekeeping.
Do we want to move on to
yeah.
the next question? So mm-hmm. the National Party proposed a gender identity bill.
Although that's New Zealand First, and the National Party have said, yes, we voted for it
okay.
into first reading.
Yes. So my question to you, James, is how is that bill relevant to the ASPEC community?
Well, I mean, firstly, I think we should just kind of say that this bill is anti-science, it's anti-human, it's putting this just really restrictive frame about what men and women are, just mm. kind of going just back to this kind of outdated binary way of thinking about it. And it's so cynical because it is trying to play to a particular base where there are votes in this. But it creates division, and it's an attack on our trans and intersex communities, our wider rainbow communities, and it's incredibly disappointing that that the coalition government are supporting this bill. How does this affect the wider ACE community? I mean, certainly ACE people are all sorts of folks, so... a solidarity with our trans and intersex ACE-spec folks. But it's part of this kind of wider political project to try to kind of put everyone back into these really restrictive boxes. So anybody that steps outside of this, therefore, is kind of a threat. And we hear all about kind of liberation for all, that you should be able to live according to your own self-expression and authenticity. And so we just kind of, we got to really like push back on this because our trans whānau was sort of like the first people that are being attacked. And that's despicable. And we're just going to kind of, wrap around kind of love and support around everyone, and we've got to be able to live the ways that are authentic to ourselves.
Yeah, I really like that. And I think it's also, I always like to mention that pride really wouldn't exist without specifically black trans women. People like Marsha P. Johnson. You know, and so it's always about humanity at the end of the day.
And it's so encouraging and heartwarming for me to see folks of all identities really speaking out, speaking up, defending the rights of our trans whānau and intersex folks, non-binary folks, and really just emphasizing on the idea that we are human beings, and it's exclusion, division will be no help to any sort of solidarity and community well-being. So thank you, James, for having that message very clear again with us. And we'll keep fighting.
Keep fighting. Keep fighting. Every day, man.
Every day.
Vote in this next election.
Vote.
Vote. And enroll to vote.
Enroll to vote.
Yes. Well, let's get some music again. You will be listening to Taikong Space by Taiwanese singer-songwriter Wu Qingfeng, and we hope that you enjoy it. I, as a space ace, certainly do. Welcome back to Friends with Benefits as part of Quilted Bananas on Wellington Access Radio 106.1 FM, and we're sponsored by the Rural Foundation. We hope you enjoy the song Space, Taikong by Wu Qingfeng. Just now we were talking about that bill that we were all outrageous about. And I want to add to the message that we call on people to vote and enroll to vote. And I want to add it to that by saying that I know many new migrants may not have the right to vote yet, but it doesn't mean that we don't care or shouldn't care about this. Because as someone who has intersecting marginal identities, such as a migrant and a queer person, I know how an attack on a specific group of people can ultimately affect the well-being of all, and really we should stand in solidarity and support each other. So even if you don't have the right to vote now, learn about it, support your friends who are being attacked, just be kind to each other, and we're all in this together.
Be kind. The other thing to watch is make sure that you are actually enrolled, because they've been taking people off the rolls, so you need to go and check that you're actually enrolled.
Thank you. That's so important. Yeah. And it's also encouraging for me recently to see how, I guess, the rage and anger take different creative shapes. So practitioners have invested in new works and practices to express themselves and express their solidarity. And I would say, back to the topic of theatre, theatre is definitely one of the most important outlets for us to show and tell what we mean and what we want. So, James, back to you. What do you think us ASPEC performers can bring to the wider theatre community?
Well, this has been, I guess, one of the great discoveries in a whole bunch of Wellington performers, creatives coming together who are part of the A-spectrum. That we created this theatre show were weird for other reasons. And we sort of were gathering people that we knew we were sort of out there, and then even more kind of came out of the woodwork. And because ASPEC people are all about, it was only in kind of all coming together to kind of be in the same space that we're like, oh, wow, like there's so much kind of benefit and value here. I think certainly as artists, being able to have this kind of nuanced, detached view about what kind of relationships, intimacy, kind of expanded ideas of what these can be are really kind of useful when you're thinking about creative practice. One of the things that I think about in terms of like just even actors and you're maybe looking at existing scripts and interpreting characters, even having sort of the language to know that your sexual identity may be aligned or might be different to your romantic identity or attraction or emotional attraction. And so being able to kind of really kind of dig into the nuances of interpretation of like how a particular character might experience that, how that might be different to the actor's kind of real life as well. And so I think anything that's kind of offering an expanded view of what you kind of might just kind of get in the mainstream is so useful for kind of just understanding and connecting with the amazing spectrum of what human experiences are like.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Oh, for sure. Mm. And speaking of we're weird for other reasons, why do you think that the performers' stories in the spectrum exercises we did, why do you think that those are important to the show?
Yeah, so but I guess a bit of context for listeners that We're Weird for Other Reasons is a documentary theatre show. So we had a bunch of us, we all created this together, and there were scenes that were kind of fictionalised and kind of a little bit sort of sketch comedy. And then we also had a number of segments where the performers were speaking from their own lived experience, and that was kind of came out of workshops that we did in order to kind of like figure out how are we going to tell the stories of the ASPEC community. Mm. And one of the very first exercises that we did, and I did with Chi-Chi and Shem, is working with spectrums. So I got everyone to line up in the room, and I'd say a prompt, for example, how important is a relationship for you? And so then people would spread out across the spectrum based on strongly agree, strongly disagree, and then talk about why they were standing where they were. And so we're able to incorporate that into the show itself. And that was really important to us, because when you're looking at kind of maybe identities like this, which aren't widely kind of understood, that you kind of, as with all things, it kind of becomes quite narrow and you only kind of get that kind of one representation. So in order to kind of bring out that, again, there's so much diversity within these identities, that you want to be able to show that there's many different ways of kind of experiencing this. And even though we're all kind of connected under this umbrella, those differences, as well as what unites us, are also kind of really worthy of celebration. So that was, yeah, incredibly important for us.
Mm. Well said. And we were really delighted to be able to bring that spectrum activity to some of our audience members when we were performing in Tamaki Makaurau, Auckland. Mm. And yeah, that was a wonderful workshop that we did, incorporating the spectrum exercise. Yeah. So thinking of this entire creative process that really lasted over half a year, from workshops to, you know, rehearsals and performances, and must be longer a planning phase for you, mm-hmm. James. What is one, you can only choose one, touching or lingering moment for you from that?
It's such a hard question, because it was really a community building exercise, I think, first, rather than necessarily like a theatre show, just the theatre show. Mm. And so actually the workshop that you mentioned that we went to Tamaki Makaurau, we performed as part of Auckland Pride, and we sort of collected audiences along the way. And so then a number of them came to a Saturday morning workshop on our final day. And they used the show as a way to kind of talk about their own experiences. And they were all able to connect with each other. The Auckland participants all formed a WhatsApp group and have continued to stay in touch.
Oh, that's so really
just
cute.
So just the fact that the show that we brought gave a platform for a whole bunch of people that didn't know each other before to connect, and so we formed a community in Auckland through the show, and we're Wellington based.
Isn't that wonderful?
That's actually epic.
Yeah.
And so this kind of leads into the next question perfectly. To what extent do you think We're Weird for Other Reasons has addressed the nuances and imbalances within the ASPEC community?
I think that was the goal, and it's always an ongoing process. So we only had an hour 10 minutes to fit as much as we could into the theatre show itself.
And the cast did kind of push that limit.
You kept getting longer and longer.
We couldn't
every
shut
show.
Up.
You kept adding new things each night. So I think what it did really well was kind of show that there are a number of sort of pathways to being able to kind of explore this identity. We had stories that were showcased in there of kind of people very early on kind of understanding that this is a identity that they fit within. And it's also kind of a bit generational as well. So Shem, you were sort of on the Tumblr generation. That was one way of kind of getting access to these languages and these concepts. But also it was like be a longer, harder journey and confusing journey for others. So I think that kind of really showed how important it is for ACE visibility. So if that's something that maybe applies to you, that you can access it. I think the nuances around romantic relationships were really interesting, that we didn't want this just to be about asexuality. We also wanted this to be about a romanticism, what it is to be arrow. And so it was really great to be able to show that. And so some ACE people like myself might kind of subscribe to both identities, and then other ACE people
like me may subscribe to both.
In relationships, non-relationships. So I think that's kind of just really cool to show that there's so many ways of living and being, and that's worthy of celebration. But there's more to do. There's the more that you dig into it, the more kind of the nuances there are. So there could be enough material certainly for a part two, which we're not doing currently, but you could just kind of keep going.
Yes, but you do have a broader project, right, that encapsulates our show We're Weird for Other Reasons. Would you like to talk a little bit more about your book and research projects?
Yes, so I am writing a book. So this is the kind of the academic side of me, that I've got a book that I'll be submitting the manuscripts for the end of this year, which is Asexuality and Aromanticism in Performance, From Absence to Presence, which is kind of working on that last spectrum there of what it means to represent and embody these identities. So Making We're Weird for Other Reasons is going to form a chapter in the book as kind of a case study of creative practice and what it meant for a whole bunch of A-spec creators to come together to work, and what kind of like methodologies and things that we did. So maybe other people can take inspiration for that in their own work. But in the broader kind of sense, I'm trying to sort of look at what theatre studies can kind of add to the conversation around asexuality studies, that there's so much kind of knowledge around performance and how we perform identities. So really sort of interesting to analyze this in identities that maybe are often kind of more invisible or not to the forefront. And I'm also sort of part of that wanting to do re-readings of the kind of established dramatic canon. Can you find kind of glimpses of characters where if they were to be ace or arrow, does that create a sort of an interesting spin on those particular characters? One of the sort of plays that I'm going to be using as an example is A Doll's House, which is a very famous one by Henrik Ibsen, which is all about Nora, who's wanting to like leave her marriage and very famously slams the door and walks out on her family at the end. So what is it to read that with an aromantic sort of lens?
Wow.
Amazing.
We truly look forward to reading your book when it comes out.
Truly do. I think it might be time for a sing-song.
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay. This is going to be When I Forgive You by Sasha Allen. Hit it, Sue.
And confused, she could have turned away and simply washed her hands of it, and said she's bragging to her friends how great her grandson is. If we just sat down to speak, I'm not fed up with you for fearing something that you've never seen. When people painted you a picture of who I am supposedly, it's not surprising that you're trying to not get too close to me.
Mrs. Mass. I wouldn't blame her if at her age it was all too much to grasp. And she don't know all of the proper terminology and words. But at 83, her love for me is what made her want to learn. It's not an act of revolution that you're watching on the news. I bet you'd like me if we talked. I bet you wouldn't have a clue. And when the swords are to the side, when the army finally falls, you'll see we're just two human beings, not too different after all. Such hatred for a stranger. You find it strange when I hold kindness to your anger. I find it strange this shape you mold me into. And you'll find it strange when I forgive you.
Welcome back to Friends with Benefits. We're part of Quilted Bananas, sponsored by the Rural Foundation. And you're listening to Wellington Access Radio 106.1 FM. And we will carry on with our conversation with our good friend James. So we've been talking about our show, We're Weird for Other Reasons. In summary, do you think We're Weird for Other Reasons has a positive impact on our general audience members?
I know it definitely has. This is a show where we have received so much feedback from people about what it meant for them, about conversations that they've had with other people in their lives and what it's kind of opened up to be able to talk about our relationships with sexuality, with romantic relationships, with intimacy. And we know that it was so important for people within the ASPEC community to see a show and, oh my gosh, they're talking about demisexuality. This is the first time I've ever seen like something that's doing that. Mm. Or kind of, we know how important it is to be represented and to be seen. I also got a lot of feedback from people that weren't part of the ASPEC umbrella of how much they got for it as well, which was really affirming. And I always have believed that the concepts and discourses that we have in this community are so useful for anybody that is wanting to kind of unpack what their own relationships are with their own identities. To see people living true to themselves is always really inspiring. I also think I got feedback, say, for people that I'm a woman, I'm unmarried, I still get lots of kind of questions and I still feel that stigma that I'm just not conforming to what society expects I should be doing at this particular life stage. And so I think that's also just like a useful message for anybody that if you're not going along with that kind of very narrow societal ladder, that's also okay. And there are other people that are doing it. There are other people like myself who live by themselves. And yeah, I just think more and more people can benefit the more that we're able to talk about these things.
Yeah. And I think it's really nice for like, I found it was really nice for old people to watch and be like, oh yes, this can help me talk to my granddaughter.
Mm.
I was going to say my granddrawer. she can talk to her drawer if she wants, it just won't be a very good conversation. I think that's so, and I think that leads to my next question, which I want to know what research you think that We're Weird for Other Reasons contributes towards, both as part of your book and I think the wider encompassment of words, things.
Well, I think this is one of the wonderful things about theatre that, I mean, all art does this, but to theatre especially when you're in the same room as people, as a way to kind of get that really direct connection about how other people experience the world and what's important to them or the stories, the experiences that they have had. And so there is that kind of bringing us together, finding connection and community. And so that's kind of, I guess, like in terms of research, the show is itself reflects the research that we were able to have in the conversations and the creative team, and then to further that and share that with the audience. As you know, we also had a zine that we created that went alongside the show itself, so people could have a place to go if they had further questions or wanted to kind of understand a little bit more about definitions, that here was a resource. And so the research is also going out in that form. And then I'm going to be, I'm going to go to Melbourne in July, and I'm going to be part of a messy spill queer performance symposium where I'm going to be talking about the show and sharing it with some Australian academics. And so I'm hoping that's going to be a really kind of useful thing in terms of thinking about wider queer performance, that we want to be part of that conversation. And I'm really sort of interested in continuing to do that as well.
Wicked.
Fantastic. And I have certainly received feedback from multiple audience members about how our zine should be a global resource.
Me too.
And so I'm really hoping that we get to disseminate it to the wider community maybe in the future, to make it accessible would be so helpful. Yeah.
I mean, was there any feedback that both of you received that was particularly meaningful, that you were like, wow, this is an outcome?
My nana said it was very educational.
Well, for me, multiple friends, I think at least three, told me that they are starting to question or identify as ace. After watching our show, they went in without even thinking about this aspect and then making so many connections with their personal experiences and realizing maybe I am an ace back person, which is so beautiful.
That's awesome.
Like that is just so profound, right? That people can, like, that it's to say that a show can change your life. Like, it absolutely can. And this is the wonderful thing too about these identities, that it is like a broad and welcoming spectrum. So there's many kind of ways of being ace-spec as well.
Wonderful. What do you think ace theatre will like be like in the future? What forms might it continue to take?
Well, this is one of the things that I've been looking at for the research of the book, is what are examples of ace theatre internationally. And there's actually like quite a strong movement here in Wellington, that because there are a number of creatives that are all have all found each other and are making work. We recently had Austin Harrison's show in the Comedy Festival.
Oh, it was really good.
That was wonderful. Yes.
If an ace is the name of that show with a bit of censorship. And it's really interesting that a lot of ace shows do lean really heavily into comedy, that there's actually a few stand-up comics around the world that are making shows about these identities. And I think that sort of makes sense, that comedy is the main language, because that is so accessible, especially for something that maybe people don't know too much about. That we are kind of wanting to put lightness and joy at the forefront. We talk about queer joy being really important for art. So humour especially is a way that we keep translating. But hey, maybe we can make some like epic operas. Like I just think that there's more to do, more forms to explore.
Well, James, if anybody can make an asexual musical, it's you.
Yep.
We'd be the ones. We could do the musical theatre.
Oh yeah. Well, talking about theatre, Shim, were you curious about James's?
I want to know if you are working on anything at the moment, Mr. Wenley, Dr. Wenley.
Dr. Wenley.
Well, today is actually the closing day of our production of Vamlet Dark, Prince of Denmark. And this is a show that I've made with my students at Te Heringa Waka, Victoria University of Wellington, in our Te Whare Nanaho Theatre and Performance Studies program. And it is a twist on Shakespeare's Hamlet, the very famous play, except Vamlet, Hamlet is a vampire. It's using what's called the bad quarto of Hamlet, which was the very first version of Hamlet ever published, but was lost and rediscovered in the Victorian era in the 1800s. So it's a strange version of the classic text. So it's been an amazing process working with the students to work out how vampires might apply to the play. And it works so well. I mean, you saw it yesterday, Shichi.
Yes.
How was that?
Can I say it's mesmerizing? It's just mind-blowing. Yeah, I wish I could go again. But it's all sold out, like, well in advance.
Yeah, very, very popular. So that's a very different kind of scale, a different way of working in theatre versus the kind of autobiographical documentary theatre I mostly make. But I also think that there's relevance that even though vampires might traditionally be seen as quite like hypersexualized sort of creatures, I think you can also do very interesting asexual readings of what it is to be a vampire and to kind of be outside of the human world.
Yeah. And I think it would be fair to say that, James, you are such a prolific theatre practitioner. You are basically working nonstop and creating one after one, like, exciting project. So after Vamlet, what's next?
Well, I think we can do the exclusive announcement for your listeners that we are continuing the journey of We're Weird for Other Reasons.
Yes.
And we have confirmed that we are going to be doing a tour of the show to Christchurch.
Ototahi.
Ototahi.
So if you know people there, let them know to look out for us. We're Weird for Other Reasons.
If you know me.
You know Shem.
Shem is from Ototahi, Christchurch.
Born and bred, baby.
Oh, that's so wonderful. I'm so glad we are able to reveal this today on air.
I've been holding that in.
Oh, for ages.
So long.
Oh, that's so great. And I think it brings us to a joyful wrap of today's episode. And shall we say a round of goodbyes before leaving our audiences with our last song? Yeah.
Yeah.
So this is today's Friends with Benefits as part of Quilted Bananas. And our special guest today is
James Winley.
And our splendid tacky is
Sue.
And this show today is hosted by
Shim
and Shuti. Yeah. We hope you've enjoyed this past hour. And coming to you as our last song is Blooming by queer icon and queer Leado.
Sick.
The light on your face, how can I erase the lines on your cheeks? They grow so slowly. Oh, how can
That program was brought to you by Wellington Access Radio. Get your voice heard. Thanks New Zealand On Air for funding accessmedia.nz.